Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos.
Hola, aloha.
Ni hao, namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour, buongiorno. Sawadee karup. Guten tag. Half a day. Jai Janendra. Jai Weevi. Vakat bang. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, go vegan.
Peace how?
Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Kilitary Industrial Corp. Poor Nation. In the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, as heard on Air America, now broadcasting for 11 years in mainstream media on behalf of the animals, environment, and improved human health, because listeners like you donate and help us pay for radio airtime. Go Vegan Radio is the donation animals recommend most, according to the latest polls coming out, I see, because it is their issue of top priority. Yes, go vegan for the animals. What's been going on? Of course, the whole political scene. And, you know, I think that there really has been way too much voter suppression, you know? I mean, when will animals get to vote, huh? I mean, they are the majority, huh? And well, they have the most egregious grievances. They are society's most depressed. Can you imagine what the world would look like if the animals had a vote? I mean, just the number of non-human Americans born in the USDA. I was born in the USDA. Their number would be 10 billion in an election year, enough to determine an election for sure. So would we be nominating the kinds of meatheads such as just nominated at the recent conventions? And I call them meatheads, you know, with all due respect. I'm just looking from the animals' perspective. They see these humans who are actually inserting meat into their heads. And, and science does tell us that those who eat meat actually get meat deposits on the brain. In essence, okay. How do you think the, majority population of this country, non-human animals, sees the recent conventions? First of all, did you happen to notice the complete lack of diversity at the conventions, not reflecting the reality of life in America? Did you see anyone with four legs at the convention? No. Did you see anyone with feathers at the convention? No. Did you see anyone with fins? No. It was just, you know, boring Homo sapien after Homo sapien, all telling the touching stories about their mothers. And also that upsets me to a degree, all this, all the pro-female talk, all this my mother this and my mother that. And yet, of course, I didn't see any bovine Americans in the crowd. And then, you know, if you look at all the conventioneers, are they confused about who their mothers are? They're drinking the milk of cows. Who's their mother? Is it the cow? Is it, who is it? You do only drink the milk from your mother, right? So all these very bright people there drinking the milk from another species, even as they are adults. And then they love their mother so much. I mean, if the cows are their mothers, then they grind them up and have them on a hamburger, have them on a bun, have them as a hamburger. It's crazy. You don't drink the milk of a donkey if you're a Democrat. You don't drink the milk of an elephant if you're a Republican, or a Republican, or Democrat. So, I don't know. It's just, they're not looking too bright there, not really knowing who their families are. And family values, you know, Paul Ryan worked at McDonald's serving chopped up mothers on buns to children. How would the animals react to these conventions? They may not really see much of a difference. Two branches of outlets of cults of meat eaters, you know, not bright enough to know how to feed themselves or their families to avoid heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, huh? Yet they're asserting that they're bright enough to lead the world. Same people who would serve decomposing cadavers to school children for lunch had their conventions to determine who rules this country. Well, you know, their policies would be a lot different if there were a non-human vote. If all the cow persons and pig persons and chicken persons and horse persons and dog persons and monkey persons, all other species persons had their personhood recognized. Yes, how would we determine a person? How about anyone who has a mother, a face, and a bowel movement? See, you still qualify. You still get your vote. But you would just be one vote of many species, you know? I mean, let's really represent the 99%, we humans, who are less than 1%. Might make it a little more difficult for a candidate like Barack the Bummer and his, you know, dog-eating past, or nominee Romney and his dog travels, which he tried to explain at the convention in a quaint way, like, oh, he just asked Doggy where he wanted a ride, and he said, roof, roof. Yeah, right. Then nominee Romney actually flip-flopped on that story, saying that he asked Doggy where he wanted to ride, and he said, roof, roof, Romney explaining that, well, the first roof in the first story was now the second roof in the second story. So Romney flip-flops, you know, from roof-roof to roof-roof. Nominee Romney has given us Paul Ryan as the vice presidential Romney nominee. Paul Ryan has been acclaimed as the intellectual of the Republican Party, which is a high achievement in the party of Bush, Cheney, Gonzalez, Palin, you know, well, all the congressional roll call, please, right? So, in fact, Paul Ryan is recognized, well, as the second most intelligent member of the Republican Party. To be fair, it was a close second to the chair that was there at the convention. Anyway, as you probably know, as a measure of a Republican's intelligence, or a Liarcon's intelligence by now, it is how fast he can make up lies. And it's obvious that Ryan's experience as a fisherman has helped him develop the art of deception, as fishing is just basically tricking someone into believing something that's not true and then killing him for believing your lie, all of which will prove helpful for Ryan in foreign affairs. Oh, and if you're worried about Ryan's inexperience in foreign affairs, as in, you know, does he have it in him, you know, to kill the innocent? Well, Ryan is an avid bow hunter, so, you know, no worries there. Oh, and Republicans mock the Democrats for not mentioning God in their platform, you know, as the Republicans did. You know, as long as nobody mentions thou shalt not kill, I guess things are okay. But the Republicans didn't seem to mention that the speaker who received the most enthusiastic response of both conventions is the one on God's diet. How about that? Bill Clinton, who claims to be a vegan. I don't know, maybe he is fully vegan now. And and looking better than ever, you know, because he is vegan. Hopefully he's not having that bite of turkey on Thanksgiving. He did say he is vegan. So he's actually on God's diet when, you know, Paul Ryan is, you know, chewing up the hamburgers of his childhood memories of his job at McDonald's. And isn't that great to have on your resume if you want to run for vice president? You worked at McDonald's. I think that certainly qualifies you, right? But anyway, I'm an optimist. I expect that there will be a vegan world. So we press on in the face of meat eaters all controlling the country. At some point, they're gonna have to catch on. We are the trend. The polls are showing us, vegans doubling in the last couple of years. And we're up to 7.5 million. So pretty soon, well, I guess we are getting some representation at the conventions now with Bill Clinton. We'll see what happens in the future. So it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Coming up on today's program, we have Karen Davis of United Poultry Concerns. We'll talk about the rotten egg bill. Also, some issues happening in so-called animal rights movement.
where Karen felt that she was misrepresented in a presentation at a recent so-called animal rights conference. We are on the air because listeners like you support the show and make a tax-deductible donation so that we can pay for airtime. You can make a check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it is goveganradio.com.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in Elk Grove and one in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut. A grocery store that's 100% vegan, and not just that, the largest vegan grocery anywhere? It's Viva La Vegan, 9456 Roberts Street, Rancho Cucamonga. Thousands and thousands of items, everything vegan, everything cruelty-free. No animal ingredients, no animal testing. Viva La Vegan Grocery. Organic produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds. And introducing Veganic. Want to go beyond organic? Coming soon to Viva La Vegan. Thousands of grocery items, some you won't see anywhere else. Fresh juice from the juicer at Viva La Vegan Grocery. Donuts, cupcakes, supplements, gluten-free, Viva La Vegan, raw foods, vegan dog food, household items, personal care, books, belts, shoes. They all come together at the largest vegan grocery anywhere. Great prices, friendly staff, thousands of items, everything vegan at Viva La Vegan, 9456 Roberts Street, Roberts, Rancho Cucamonga, California, 909-941-4495, VivaLaVeganGrocery.com, 909-941-4495, Viva La Vegan.
Get ready to be floored. Cars Land has come to life at Disney California Adventure Park, and you could be there for all the excitement. Be among the first to zip through the scenic roadways of Radiator Springs. Meet some of your favorite friends along the way. Then get ready for a head-to-head race to the finish line. Hitch a ride for some square dancing hijinks at Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. Hop on Luigi's Flying Tires and glide, spin, and literally float on air. It's the world of Disney Pixar Cars movie, brought to life and fully loaded with fun for every member of your pit crew. Zoom on over to KCAAradio.com right now for a chance to win tickets from KCAA 1050 AM to experience Cars Land at Disney California Adventure Park.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. I just feel so modern. I'm texting during the break. Well, I guess I am modern. You can find Go Vegan Radio on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, on Facebook, Bob Linden, Bob L-I-N-D-E-N. I have two pages. One of them is maxed out. One has 200
openings left for me to be your superficial friend. And then there's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. Also, I'm everywhere. You can hear this program on TalkStream Live, on KCAA Radio in Southern California, on KEST Radio in Northern California, on your mobile app, smartphone. Go to stitcher.com/govegan, and you can listen on your smartphone. And you'll want to listen because this is a show about everything, about everything important. And someone very important to me is chickens. And today on the program, we have a fairly regular visitor, chicken advocate Karen Davis, PhD, founder and president of United Poultry Concerns. And please, I get a lot of emails from people who confuse United Poultry Concerns from United Egg Producers. UPC and UEP are two different things. UPC, good people. UEP, bad people. So she's the author of numerous books, including Instead of Chicken, Instead of Turkey, A Poultryless Poultry Potpourri, which is a cookbook, Prison Chickens, Poisoned Eggs, An Inside Look at the Modern Poultry Industry, More Than a Meal, The Turkey in History, Myth, Ritual, and Reality, also The Holocaust and the Handmaid's Tale, A Case for Comparing Atrocities. And United Poultry Concerns also operates a sanctuary for chickens, really the most oppressed of all species when you think about it. The fact is, and I know not too many people care about facts these days, but the fact is those who eat chickens and eggs really do bring the most misery into the world. 9 billion innocent lives in this country every year, tortured and murdered. So, and this isn't about blame. It's just about taking responsibility. We're not supposed to know what goes on behind the scenes, but Karen will help us and enlighten us to see what is going on behind the scenes in the dismal lives of chickens. And Karen, there are so many issues. We have the Rotten Egg Bill, H.R. 3798, S. 3239. Want to see what you feel about developments on that lately. And also, at the recent so-called animal rights conference, you feel you were misrepresented by Nick Cooney of Farm Sanctuary in his presentation. So come in where you want to come in here. I mean, there's just so much to discuss. I also do want the audience to know what chickens do endure in their lives so that they can help make the informed decision to go vegan and stop being a part of a torture and not think that an enriched cage, a bigger cage, or a cage with furniture is better for chickens.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's great to talk to you again. And we missed you last week or so. I know that you had to save a hen at the time, so totally understandable. So, but people have been waiting to hear from you.
Okay. Well, actually, last week was a sanctuary situation in which I was fortunately able to save the hen from a black snake. Today, I'm waiting for a friend to come down from Maryland with another hen. This is a rescued hen. So, at some point during our discussion, a hen may appear here. So, you know, but yeah, I'm delighted to be on the show and to talk about these issues. So I don't know whether I should wait for you to ask a question or whether I should just start.
I think, you know, wherever you want to go here, I mean, it's almost like there's so much to discuss with the egg bill. But I know you did also want to address, you know, what happened at the animal rights conference, too.
Well,
to set
I want
the record
to...
straight, and maybe you can tell us how you feel you were misrepresented at the conference and what you would have wanted to say in response.
Well, first of all, the Rotten Egg Bill, the Egg Products Inspection Act amendments of 2012, I believe at this point these two bills are shelved, and the question is what... will they be reintroduced, and if so, will they be modified at all? As you know, I and United Poultry Concerns have written and spoken about the problems that United Poultry Concern sees with the proposed legislation. First of all, a huge thing is that contrary to the campaigns that have been going on for decades among animal activists to ban battery cages, not just ban barren battery cages, but ban cages, was sabotaged by the unexpected, certainly to me and many other people, unexpected alliance that was announced in July of 2011 between the Humane Society of the United States and the egg industry trade group United Egg Producers, which was followed about a year later with the introduction of this legislation, which would essentially allow or enshrine cages for egg-laying hens virtually into the infinite future, and would not even come into, would not even be in, implemented until about 18 years after the legislation was enacted. And so certainly for many of us, the idea of legislation that would keep hens in cages, although there would be some, you know, niche market keeping of chickens in what they call cage-free operations, which are also extremely overcrowded and not at all humane. It's just that the hens are locked up in buildings but not also in cages. But certainly the fact that the birds would be kept in cages and in what are euphemistically referred to as enriched cages, which means there would be some kind of a little scratching pad, there would be some kind of a little nesting area, although please don't think for a moment that the word nest implies straw or anything soft and comfortable for the hens. It does not. Even in the cage-free operation that I visited last year, the hens were on a kind of sloping rubber mat, sloping so the eggs would just go down a conveyor belt, onto a conveyor belt. And also because egg producers don't want the hens to sit there. They want them to lay their eggs and then go. And so in any case, the word nest is misleading because people think of a nest as a nice, soft, strawy place, which it isn't. In any case, there would be all this teensy tiny furniture in each one of these battery cages. They would still be battery cages. A battery cage refers to individual units that are lined up and on top, you know, on top of each other, and individual identical units of production. So they're still battery cages. And if you've seen pictures of these cages and these buildings with these cages, you see that they're definitely battery cages. These types of cages, which they're calling colony barns and whatnot, are supposed to house about 60 hens in each cage. And it's also very important to note that even if the federal legislation would be enacted, the white hens, who are the predominant type of egg-laying hen in the United States, would only get a maximum of 124 square inches of living space. So that wouldn't even be a square foot, which is 144 square inches. So there's that issue, and the tiny furniture that's going to make it very difficult, not only for the hens inside the cages. I'm not going to say that it's as bad as a barren cage, because it probably isn't. It's bad, but it probably isn't that bad. But another issue that's been pointed out, for example, by Claire Druce of Farm Animal Welfare Network in England, is the difficulty of inspecting these cage operations, which could make, excuse me a minute. Yeah, come on in, Mary. Just open the door. Excuse me, I'm on Bob Linden's show. I'll be there. Which could make inspection even more difficult, because you're not going to be able to see the hens very easily, for example, when they're in their nesting area. So hens in these cage operations and in any kind of crowded operations are going to be very, very crowded. And it's difficult to see them even in an open floor type of system. And it's difficult to see them even in a barren cage situation. So when you add areas where the birds are going to be obscured behind a little curtain, for example, to nest or to lay their eggs, it's more likely to say to lay their eggs, and that could cause sick hens, dead hens. In other words, you know, they wouldn't even maybe be seen. And it's also quite likely that because we already know that inspectors in these places don't do a very good job. I mean, people don't want to go into these kinds of operations because the ammonia fumes are very, very strong, and they're very their eyes burn and their throats burn, and they kind of want to just be there as short amount of time as possible. So even under
amazing. That says it all right there. The conditions are so bad, the inspectors don't even want to deal with them. They're
well,
just,
right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
A
couple of the groups who have been supporting the egg bill, HSUS and Farm Sanctuary, previously had on their websites how unacceptable these so-called enriched or furnished cages are, how detrimental they are to the physiology, to the psychology of the birds. And I don't understand how one justifies the turnaround or flip-flop. Has anybody justified or explained why one day those cages were unacceptable and then the next day they were?
Well, Bob, I was not part of the negotiations between the HSUS and United Egg Producers. I do not know what went on behind the scenes.
You would be someone I would want to consult on something like that.
Well,
you know,
we weren't consulted, so that's it. We were not consulted. We were not part of the negotiations. We learned about them basically the day of the press conference. That's when I learned that these bills were going to be introduced at a press conference. That was the morning I received a call from Paul Shapiro alerting me to the fact. And at that time, I also learned that there were several other groups that were already in the loop, who knew that about the legislation and who had already prepared their own alerts and press conferences applauding the decision. So I can't speculate. Obviously, both sides, or certainly on our side, it was decided that that money would be saved by choosing to go for the federal legislation approach. And I brought that point up because the welfare of the birds is being represented as the primary reason. That is on our side. On the other side, of course, is saying that the well-being, the welfare of the egg industry is their primary reason for supporting the federal legislation. On our side, the supporters are saying that the primary reason for the legislation is the welfare of the hens. So, well, you can decide for yourself. But in my view, the welfare of the hens in this instance have been sacrificed to financial and perhaps other considerations, political considerations. I don't really know. But in my opinion, the welfare of the hens has been set aside in favor of other considerations, and the welfare of the hens has been used as a way to persuade people that the proposed federal legislation is best for the hens, and that preempting possible state laws that could be better than the federal law is not in the best interest of the hens. And it looks like both sides are saying that if an effort were made to go state by state, for example, trying to get all 24 states that have voter initiatives as a way of getting legislation state by state, that it would be so complicated and in such a mess all around. I mean, both sides kind of say that. So,
I wouldn't mind messing up the egg industry if it gets complicated.
That's one of the points.
We need to take a quick break, Karen, and we'll continue. I guess you're having an introduction of a hen now, United Poultry Concerts there. So we celebrate every hen who makes it to a sanctuary. I wish we could do it for all 9 billion. Okay, we'll continue with Karen Davis. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Please, we have to purchase airtime on behalf of chickens, and you can help with a tax-deductible donation. So for archives and podcasts and to donate online, you can go to goveganradio.com.
For as long as I can remember, I've been locked in this crowded, filthy cage. Constant abuse, deprivation, and suffering. Painful metal floor I can barely stand on. Day after day, month after month. This is my entire life. I thought we'd be in here forever. But then, something great happened. People began to take a stand for us. They started voting to get us out of cages entirely. The promise of a cage-free life. To no longer be trapped in a cage. But now, that promise is in danger of being broken. The egg industry is pushing federal legislation that would trade one cruel metal cage for another. And their bill could never be challenged or changed by state law or public vote. Even though most people want us out of cages. If we let the egg factories win, we'll never get out.
We'll never get out!
Keep the promise. Take action. Visit StopTheRottenEggBill.org. Fight the egg industry's plan to keep hens locked away in cages forever.
Animals and the Afterlife. It's the heartwarming book from author, animal lover, and animal communicator Kim Sheridan. Visit animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book offers some amazing answers. Animals and the Afterlife provides comfort for anyone who has ever loved and lost an animal, and food for thought for anyone who has ever questioned the place of animals in the larger scheme of things. Read about Kim's experiences and the experiences of people around the world in Animals and the Afterlife, Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Award winner. See more about author Kim Sheridan at kimsheridan.com, her other books, films, and compassionate projects. And learn more about this amazing book and order it at animalsandtheafterlife.com.
RecipeFactory.net. Create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit RecipeFactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones. Customize to use or avoid specific ingredients. Meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budgetary requirements. Check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load. Create food and meal substitutes. Upload your recipes and download others. Visit RecipeFactory.net. Create at RecipeFactory.net.
The other station claims to be local. Since when is Glendale local? KCAA, News Talk 1050, your true local station.
Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, and our Southern California listeners have a great opportunity to go solar now as San Onofre is shut down. Don't you want to get off the grid? You know that nuclear is not green, coal can never be clean, and solar energy is now more practical and affordable than ever. If you're spending $150 a month or more, have good credit, and a clear south or west-facing roof, you may qualify for the California Solar Initiative Zero Out-of-Pocket Program. Pay nothing down and start saving right away. And with each new solar customer, Go Vegan Radio receives a donation. So for more information, contact Thomas Cox at Solar Universe. The phone number 805-210-4499. The website, the numeral onefuture.org. onefuture.org, 805-210-4499. We're talking to Karen Davis, the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns. We've been having a discussion about a bizarre egg bill, a
weird alliance between United Egg Producers and the Humane Society of the United States, and then a satellite group of organizations that went for this egg industry legislation. And I was kind of upset with, I felt that, well, when you're trying to defend the indefensible, you have
Hello?
To... Oh, hi, Karen.
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah.
You there? Okay. So what I was saying is, in defending the indefensible, as in switching positions and supporting really concentration camps for chickens, one must stretch the truth. We see that in politics quite often, and I feel like I've been experiencing that with the promotion of the egg bill that, you know, it was promoted as ban barren battery cages, you know, and you know, the key word was barren. It wasn't the battery cages. And, you know, just a lot of deception going on and, you know, strange manipulations of numbers and research figures, as we've covered on the show here with another representative of yours from UPC. So you felt that your position was misrepresented at the Animal Rights Conference, and, you know, at the Animal Rights Conference, everything is engraved in video for forever. How were you misrepresented, and you know, what would your response be?
How I was misrepresented was, first of all, I was on a panel with three other people, Peter Young, Norman Phelps, and Nick Cooney. And I don't know Nick Cooney, by the way. I don't think I ever set eyes on him until the conference. And I had asked to be able to go last so that I could respond to some things that, you know, were said by other panelists. And I hadn't really written out a speech. I didn't have a sort of all written up. I was just going to speak in a general way on the themes that I had indicated in my title. And I was told I could, and then I was told that, well, Nick had already preempted that and that he was going to be speaking last. So I, you know, all right, whatever. So I gave my presentation.
And Nick Cooney is with Farm Sanctuary.
Right, I know that.
Well, I don't know that the audience, the people listening.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, he is. So then I sat down, and then Nick got up and flashed a number of welfare campaigns or efforts that United Poultry Concerns has supported over the years. Now, it happened so quickly, and I have not reviewed the tape, so I can't even remember what he flashed up on his PowerPoint. But it was kind of the way it was done was kind of like a gotcha. You know, it was like he was sort of waiting to pounce on me and show that even though I was taking issue with certain aspects of welfare reforms, that I was really contradicting myself, and that really United Poultry Concerns has supported certain welfare reforms in the past. But again, it wasn't that he was making that point. It was the tone in which he made it and the style, which was rather a kind of sarcastic way. And again, as I said, it was sort of like he was kind of couldn't wait to kind of show me up and to kind of say gotcha to me. And I did not have a chance to respond and to explain what United Poultry Concerns' position is with respect to animal welfare campaigns and reforms. And I do want to make clear, as I have in numerous forums, that United Poultry Concerns is not per se and categorically opposed to all efforts to reform living conditions and treatments of animals who are in situations that are abominable and from which they are never going to be able to escape except through being dead. I realize it's complicated, and I'm very ambivalent about even what I'm saying now, but I do not feel comfortable simply saying that I would, or that United Poultry Concerns would totally and automatically oppose every effort that was intended to try to make life a little less miserable for animals in industrial confinement operations or any other institutionalized incarcerations and abuse situations. And as I have explained over the years, for example, United Poultry Concerns launched and led a 15-year campaign to educate the public and the media about the practice of starving hens by taking away all their foods in the practice known as forced molting. We campaigned avidly. We got a front page article in the Washington Post. We succeeded in getting legislation introduced in California that would have banned forced molting of laying hens by starvation. Of course, it didn't pass, but it resulted in that huge article in the Washington Post, which was the proposed legislation in California was the hook that the Washington Post reporter Mark Kaufman needed in order to create this huge article. That was the hook. And I had been feeding him information that I had gotten from Freedom of Information Act requests to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and other sources over a six-month period. And finally, when we got this legislation introduced in California, that was what he needed to go run with this excellent three-page story. And it was in the Sunday Washington Post, which is the most read day of the week. So, but what I want to, and that's not the only campaign that we've supported, and that we've actually conducted and run. But, for example, as part of our campaign, we never ever suggested to people that that it was all right to eat eggs as long as the hens weren't forced molted. We never suggested that now the hens are humanely treated if they are not being starved in their cages anymore. In fact, just the opposite. On our website, I have an article explaining why, total starvation is worse than having at least some minimal kind of food, which is what the industry is, what United Egg Producers now supports. We actually got United Egg Producers to come out against forced molting of laying hens by total starvation. They saw that they were getting so much negative publicity and that even their own poultry scientists did not support starvation. And another related aspect of it, which definitely helped with the publicity, was that forced molting by starvation has been known for decades by the egg industry and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to be a primary cause of salmonella enteritidis, food poisoning, in eggs. It makes the birds sick, and it also makes consumers of eggs sick. Now, we certainly made use of that information. We pointed out that the cruelty and the contamination are linked, and that when you treat hens so badly and so cruelly that their immune system cannot even begin to cope with all these pathogens. And one of the pathogens is the salmonella pathogen, which, of course, is the number one cause of foodborne illness in consumers of eggs. So we brought out all this information. But what we were doing was putting together in our reports, in our letters to the editor, and in our op-eds and so on, and in the articles that we were interviewed for, the information. And if anybody reads the articles that we got in the Washington Post, because there were two major articles in which this subject was covered because of United Poultry Concerns campaign, no one will find a speck of even a suggestion that that we think that now, you know, that if forced molting by starvation were eliminated, that therefore the birds would be treated compassionately and humanely, or that it would be okay then to consume eggs from those hens.
And your position always is that the best action that you can take for chickens is to go vegan. We have to eliminate consumer demand. And we just have maybe a couple of minutes left. I think, you know, what you say sort of defines what's going on right now in the so-called animal rights movement. It's kind of splashing over into slate right now. And the idea is that welfare, and sometimes I think that word is, you know, I mean, too much of an upgrade for what the conditions really are. I mean, welfare is coming to mean really acceptable, horrific conditions. You know, I don't know.
Exactly, so, right, yeah.
You know, the word is being
completely
horror,
degraded,
you know?
Yes. These words are being being stripped of their meaning and their value, and that, too, is a serious problem. To take important words like compassion and welfare, faring well, and humane, and respect, and all of these terms, they are being degraded and debased by not everybody, but certainly in a number of these campaigns where it's really really means about the words almost really mean their opposite.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean that's what's happening now, and so consequently, it encourages the sale of animal products. You know, now it's they're from enriched colony housing. Wow, that sounds like, hey, when can I move in? You know,
right.
And then they get a higher price for the eggs. You know, so the people who should go vegan instead say, oh, I'll buy the humane product. You know, and that's really very troubling. Karen, we have maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Anything you wanted to mention, or how people can reach you, or ask them to donate, or help you, or?
Well, we certainly are grateful for and always in need of donations to support our work, which is promoting the compassionate and respectful treatment of chickens, turkeys, ducks, and other domestic fowl referring to those birds who have the great misfortune to be considered a food source for human beings. And we promote only a vegan diet and lifestyle. We practice and promote a vegan diet and lifestyle. We are totally supportive of and adamant about the importance of building the vegan economy so that vegan foods are readily available.
Eat the vegan foods. Eat the vegan meats, the vegan chicken alternatives.
We want those foods. We want those foods to be visible. We want those foods to be prominently displayed on supermarket shelves. And people need to understand how expensive it is to be able to put those products, those vegan products, on prominently displayed in shelves instead of just being hidden away in some part of the store. So our job is to build a vegan economy and to buy those foods, promote the deliciousness of those foods, and not even to think of diverting people to animal products under the illusion and the falsehoods that somehow these animals are being treated humanely, which you have certainly eloquently pointed out is a complete 100% lie. But we are really betraying all of these animals when we suggest to people who are just learning about the issues or are on the fence about their food choices, we are really betraying the animals and the people and the environment by suggesting that, well, it's up to them if they want to eat humanely raised this and that, that's fine, and if they want to be vegetarian or vegan, that's fine. No, we should be encouraging people totally to choose vegan.
Great. Thank you, Karen Davis of United Poultry Concerns, the website upc-online.org. Thank you so much for all the work you do for the most oppressed beings on the planet. It's
Thank you,
Go
Bob.
Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soup, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at Vegetarian House steakhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob at goveganradio.com. Your support of the International Fund for Africa goes to direct aid for human babies and animals in need in Africa. Compassion for all beings is exemplified by the work of the International Fund for Africa, delivering critically needed medical services from the introduction of neonatal care in Ethiopia to the Homeless Animals Project for dogs, from the Rural Health and Development Project to the Veterinary Medicine Hospital Project, and promoting veganism as the best way to help people, animals, and the environment of Africa, the International Fund for Africa is leading the way. Its dynamic president, Dr. Antenna Roba, is a Houston emergency room physician who sees the deadly health effects of the standard African-American diet of animal products, and then goes home to Africa to witness the deadly environmental effects of the standard African-American diet there, as meat and dairy-based climate change devastates the continent. The message from the International Fund for Africa is, go vegan, Africa. No GMOs, no factory farms. Find out how you can help the International Fund for Africa help people and animals in Africa. Visit iFundAfrica.org. Stop starvation. Save the environment. Visit iFundAfrica.org.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
Time flies when you're trying to help animals. Hey, tell the U.S. Postal Service to stop using glue traps at all its branches. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Be my friend on Facebook, Bob Linden, Twitter, Go Vegan Radio, and archives and podcasts. And to make a tax-deductible donation online, visit goveganradio.com.
On board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, sunny and a high near 97. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 69. Tomorrow, sunny and a high near 99. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 71. On Tuesday, sunny and a high near 99. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 70. On Wednesday, sunny and a high near 98. Wednesday night, mostly clear, low around 70. On Thursday, sunny and a high near 97. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 69. That's your forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
This summer, join us as we honor fascinating animals and ancient arts during the San Diego Zoo's China Celebration, June 23rd through September 3rd. From jaw-dropping acrobats to wild animal encounters, it's sure to be a magical evening for all. The San Diego Zoo's China Celebration. Open nightly June 23rd through September 3rd. Visit sandiegozoo.com.
Broadcast of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area Sundays at 4 p.m. on 1450 KEST by Vegetarian House, world-class organic vegan dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us, and in a few moments I will give you a heads up on great event that's going to be happening at Vegetarian House. We're also sponsored by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants with over 200 worldwide. The very first one in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane in Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue for the Loving Hut near you in the Bay Area. Visit lovinghut.us. And in just a moment, I'll be telling you about an exciting event happening at one of the local Bay Area Loving Hut locations. But let me let you know that next Saturday, John Robbins and Jeffrey Smith speak out for labeling GMOs. The talk will be in Oakland. The talk is The Truth About GMOs, A Case for Labeling, and it will be at the Forum at Lacey College, which is at 900 Fallon Street in Oakland. That is 3 p.m. to 5:15 p.m. next Saturday. John Robbins, Jeffrey Smith on labeling GMOs. Well, the San Francisco Vegetarian Society presents the 13th annual San Francisco World Veg Festival, which this year hosts the 40th International Vegetarian Union International Vegetarian Congress, and it runs Friday, October 5th. Well, really, I guess we could say through Monday the 8th. Friday, October 5th, there'll be a dinner that evening at Millennium Restaurant after registration, $64 at Millennium. And then the big event is Saturday, October 6th, and Sunday, October 7th in the County Fair Building at Golden Gate Park, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. That's at 9th Avenue and Lincoln Way, with lectures and Green Film Festival, raw and cooking demos, entertainment, vendors, food booths. The IVU plenary sessions are after the dinners. And for information, go to worldvegfestival.com. Great speakers there Saturday, including Brenda Davis, John Davis, president of the International Vegetarian Union, Melanie Joy, Freya Dinshaw, Rin Berry, the historian on all things vegan, vegetarian, and Lee Hall will also be speaking on Saturday, October 6th. And then on Sunday, to wake things up, I'm speaking in the Garden Club room from 10:30 in the morning till 11:30 on vegan animal liberation activism. I emcee the entire event Saturday and Sunday, as I've been doing now for close to a decade. On Sunday, Dr. John McDougall and Will Tuttle, Gabriel Cousins, MD, and Dr. Michael Clapper, Keith Akers, Steve Blake. Wonderful lineup on Sunday also. So, and then on Monday evening, Go Vegan Radio presents the Dixie May Appreciation Dinner and Benefit. I'm hosting it, honoring the president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, and that will be at the Loving Hut in San Francisco at 524 Irving Street. That's between 6th and 7th, and that dinner is between 7 and 9 p.m. The dinner menu includes spring roll, heavenly salad, hot and sour soup, guru curry, orange sesame bites, deluxe vegetables, organic brown rice, and vegan cheesecake for dessert. So if you email me, I will consider you reserved. It's $35 if you email goveganradio@gmail.com. Just set up the reservation. You can pay the night of the event. Otherwise, it's $40 the night of the event, and you'll be supporting Go Vegan Radio at that. And also save the date, Wednesday, October 10th. I believe we're going to do a dinner with Cindy Sheehan, a vegan peace dinner at Vegetarian House. Further details coming this week, which you'll find on my Facebook page, Bob Linden. My email, if you want to reach me, is bob@goveganradio.com. And you can make a donation to support the radio program for archives and podcasts, and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com.